Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I'm excited about this evening's teaching. We're going to start the book of Colossians, chapter 1. We're going to expound verses 1 through 8. But we also want to do an introduction to the book, so we have somewhat of understanding who wrote the book, where it took place, and things in that nature. So I'm excited about that. This wonderful expository teaching that God has laid on my heart to teach the saints of God at home. And so with that, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Also, my friends, I just want to give a shout out to those who drove up with us yesterday in Los Angeles as we celebrated the life of Brother Leroy Brown. He was a wonderful friend of the family for many, many, many years. We got reacquainted back in 2014 when he came to Amazing Grace and was a wonderful servant. He drove the buses and he served. He did everything there. And we're mighty thankful for Leroy. He went on to be with Jesus, and the Holy Ghost fell in that place. And I'm so blessed that the saints of God received the Word of God that was given to them regarding our brother Leroy Brown. And so I'm very excited, for many of them are going to be coming down to visit us from time to time, from all the way from Pasadena, California. And so I'm just so blessed. I'm still flowing with the Spirit of God from yesterday's service. Praise God. But let's move on to our service, amen, tonight. And let's go here. And here we go. Let me go back here. And I've entitled this evening's message, Our Treasure in Heaven. Our Treasure in Heaven. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 8. Are we there? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And it reads, the purpose. We need to understand the purpose. The purpose of this book was to combat errors in the church and to show that believers have everything they need in Christ. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Secondly, who was the author? Paul the Apostle. He was the author. He's the one that wrote the book of Colossians as he wrote a letter to them. And then also the audience. It was at that time the church at Colossae, a city in Asia Minor, and all believers everywhere. Praise God. Praise God. And let me just pause this for a moment. And let me just say this, saints of God. It was not only just for them, but it's for us today. Can I get an amen? Everything that was written was for our understanding, for our edification. The Bible says to read God's word and rightly divide it. Amen. And so this was for us today as well, not just for them. Matter of fact, it wasn't written just for them as yet. But when Paul wrote it, God preserved it and kept it for us for such a time as this. Let's go back. Now, the date written, approximately A.D. 60, during Paul's imprisonment in Rome. Did you catch that? Paul's imprisonment in Rome. The majority of the epistles were written in prison. Oh my gosh, that's right. Written in prison. Now, let's look at the setting. Paul had never visited Colossae. Evidently, saints of God, the church had been founded by Epaphras and other converts from Paul's missionary travels. The church, however, was infiltrated by religious relativism, with some believers attempting to combine elements of paganism and secular philosophy and mixed in with Christian doctrine. Paul confronts these false teachings and affirms sufficiency of Christ. And so, my friends, nothing has changed. Today, we have a whole bunch of false teaching, false doctrines. We got New Age that has infiltrated. There are so many organizations now that will not preach the truth of the Bible. And they will bring in heresies. They will bring in false doctrines. They will bring things that are considered heretics. But yet, some people has received them as normal today. I'm here to let you know, my friends, we will never adhere. We will never submit to false doctrine. Can I get amen? The Word of God is what's high and lifted up. The Word of God is our foundation, as we taught last Sunday. And so, my friends, I need you to hear this. If you remove the head coach and the team that flounders and break the fuel line and the car won't run, unplug the electrical appliance and it has no power, whether for leadership, power, or life, connections are vital. Can I get an amen? So Colossians is a book of connections. And writing from prison in Rome, Paul combated false teachings which had infiltrated the Colossian church. The problem was syncretism, combining ideas from other philosophies and religions, such as paganism, strains of Judaism, and Greek thought with Christian truth. The resulting heresy, my friends, later became known as Gnosticism, emphasizing special knowledge, Gnosis, which in the Greek, and denying Christ as God and Savior. We all know that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save and to seek which was lost. He is our all in all. He's the God, hallelujah, that came to die on a cross, on a hideous cross, to shed His blood so that you and I can be forgiven of sins. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remissions of sins. And so, during the time that Paul was experiencing this in Colossae, man, I'm telling you, there were so many pagan religions trying to infiltrate the church. But praise God, hallelujah, Jesus, who is high and lifted up, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Nothing could ever thwart the plan of God, the will of God, and the purpose of God in your life and my life. Why? Because it is written before the foundation of the world. God already spoke everything into existence. God already foreknew, hallelujah, that men and women in our day and time would come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so, my friends, to combat this devious error, Paul stressed Christ's deity, His connection with the Father, and His sacrificial death on the cross for sin. And only by being connected with Christ through faith can anyone have eternal life. Can I get amen? And only through a continuing connection with Him can have power for living. Praise God. Praise God. And so, are we ready to break down verses 1 through 8? That's right. Colossians 1 through 8. Let's go now back to the Word of God. Here we go. In Colossians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you. This is where I got the topic. This is where I got it. We are to store up and lay up treasures. Can I get amen? Which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of truth of the gospel. Look at this, verse 6, which has come to you, as it is also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is among you, look at this, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 7, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So, listen, when God mentions a person's name in Scripture, God truly values that name, that person, that servant. And why not you? Why not me? Well, let me just say this. Our names are written in the book of life. Can I get an amen? Praise God. They're written in the book of life. Why? Because God has called you and I. God has saved us. God has sanctified us. God has set us apart. We got a new life in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are new creatures in Christ now. Thank you, God. We no longer have the desire to do the things we once did in the world. God has delivered us. God has lifted us up. God has scooped us up from the ground. Hallelujah. And He put us on solid ground in the name of Jesus. God has done a marvelous work in your life and my life, and He's not done yet. God is perfecting those things in our life. God is whittling away those things in our life. More and more we're becoming more like Christ. We're falling in love with the Savior. I hope you are falling in love with the Savior, because I truly love the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind. Thank you, Jesus. And we should all have that same, hallelujah, compassion and desire, an earnest desire to be with God and to love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Can I get an amen? So let's break down the first verse here and let's go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Praise God. Praise God. And so, saints, as at the beginning of all these letters that Paul wrote, Paul identified himself by name. But because Paul did not know the Colossian believers, and because he needed to write to them some specific doctrinal issues, he identified himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And the word apostle means one thing only, one who is sent. That's right, one who is sent. And because Paul was not one of the original 12 disciples who were called apostles after Jesus' resurrection, some doubted his credentials. Yet Jesus had appeared to Paul personally and had commissioned him. And nowhere else in Scripture do we see this. And this is why we need to be careful on people who self-appoint themselves as apostles. Jesus, the only record we see, Jesus has to appear in His form, face to face, that He will appoint you as an apostle. But you got organizations now, they'll just make up their own doctrine. They'll just make up their own organizational truths, which is not the truth of the Bible. And they'll self-appoint. And they will call themselves apostle this, apostle that. And yet God never appeared to them. And yet they're running their own show. False doctrine. It's false doctrine. This is the only place in Scripture where you can read in the Word of God where Jesus appeared to Paul. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. And look at this. I want you to read this. I want you to see this in the book of Acts. Let's look at this. Acts 9:1-6. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Look at this. I want you to see how this story unfolds. Verse 2. And asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way. Now, let me just pause there. The believers back in the day, the born-again believers, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost of promise, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That organization, which was a movement of the power of the Holy Spirit, was called the Way. And Paul, and he was Saul of Tarsus at the time, and many enemies of the cross wanted to annihilate, wanted to exile, wanted to destroy the things of God. Why? Because they were religious and they never had a relationship with God. And so we read through Scripture how Jesus would appear to Paul and make him an apostle. Let's look at this again. Let's go back. Let's look at verse 2. and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Look at that. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 5. And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord answered, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Look at verse 6. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Wow. Wow, saints of God. That's amazing, huh? That's amazing. Let me just say this. You and I, we were on the road to Damascus. Maybe not to kill Christians, but we were up to no good. For me, I was up to no good. I was polluting people, selling drugs and things of that nature. I was out to destroy myself. But God, hallelujah, came and intercepted my life, intercepted your life. And he came and he stopped the plan of the enemy for our lives. And he showed us the plan that he has for you and I. And let me just say this, my friends, the plan for you and I is a great plan. Hallelujah. He has anointed us. He has appointed us. And he has approved us. Praise God. By his grace and mercy. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by his mercy that saved you and I. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, you need to understand that God went through great lengths on the cross to save you and I. Hallelujah. And now he is now reaping his rewards. How is he reaping his rewards? You and I, hallelujah, who has been raised up from the dead, are now being used by him mightily. We are his spokesmen. We are the ones that are telling men and women to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He is using us to sow righteous seeds into the hearts of men and women, family members, friends, acquaintances. God wants to use us to the uttermost, from the guttermost. We all came, many of us came from the gutter. Hallelujah. And now we are seated in heavenly places. We are heaven bound and a hell to shun. Praise God. It is but the grace of God. It's but the mercy of God. It is about God's love. Hallelujah. Toward you and me. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody give God a shout of praise in the house of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We bless you and praise you, Lord. Thank you. Let's move on now to verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren, to Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, God's holy people were the believers. The city of Colossae was 100 miles east of Ephesus on the Lycus River and over thousands of miles from Rome, from which Paul was writing this letter. Paul often began his letters with greetings of grace and peace. Grace means God's unmerited favor. Peace refers to the peace that Christ made between us and God through the death on the cross. And only God our Father can grant us such wonderful gifts. Paul wanted his readers to experience God's grace and peace in their daily living. And when I received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith 32 years ago, I have now have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Even through trials and tribulations, even through COVID and through sicknesses and things of that nature, God is still residing in you and I, giving us the peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh, that's right. We're not like unbelievers that, we scream and we run and we put our head in the sand. No. God has given us the courage. God has given us the peace. God has given us the strength. God has given us our all in all to continue to press toward the prize in the call in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. And so Paul understood firsthand what the grace of God was for his life. He is considered in the scriptures as the suffering apostle. Oh, that's right. Suffering apostle. Let's look at the word of God written in 2 Corinthians 12:7. Look at this. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations. Look, God used him in mighty ways. God downloaded him. Revelation after revelation. But look what God wrote through the Holy Spirit as Paul wrote this down. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be what? Exalted above measure. This was what kept him humbled. Oh, that's right. Let me just pause here. Saul of Tarsus was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was from the line of Benjamin. Oh, that's right. He was taught by Gamaliel. Listen, this man was the attorney of the day. He was one of the highest respected rabbis in all Jerusalem. And yet God had to put a thorn in his side to keep him humbled, that he would not be exalted with all the revelation that God downloaded in his mind, in his heart, in his soul, to give to you and I. And this is the key, my friends. When God uses you mightily, stay humble. Do not exalt yourself. Can I get an amen? Do not say, look at me, look what I'm doing now. No, stay humble at the foot of the cross. The Bible says, humble yourself at the foot of the cross, and he will lift you up. Allow God to lift you up. Allow God, hallelujah. And be careful when people pat you on the back. Because the same people that will pat you on the back are the same ones that will leave your life. Oh, that's right. That's why when people say, oh man, that was a great sermon, give God all the glory. Don't praise me. Give God all the glory. Can I get amen? Because I want to defer it back to God. Because we were nothing when he found us. And now God has given us a platform to speak the things of God, to speak the oracles of God. And after we're done speaking, remain humble. Can I get an amen in the house of God? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to the Word of God here. Look at this. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, look what Paul said. I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Wow. And he said to me, my grace. Hallelujah. When we're going through some suffering in this life, my friends. Hallelujah. God is saying, my grace is sufficient. We can't just run into a pity party every time a trial comes, every time affliction comes, every time there's things that we did not see coming and they start to happen to us. Always look up to God, and God will say this, just like he told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's right. Paul found out right away, I'm not going to be a crybaby and just whine and moan. Why? Because as he kept his mouth shut, he stayed humble. God empowered him. God used him. And God wants to use you and me. All we have to do is endure. Endure to the very end. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Look at this. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's move on to verse 3. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Praying always for you. Praise God. You see, saints, one characteristic of Paul was his constant prayers for the churches, those he knew well and those he did not know well. That's right. But Paul was a man of God. Look at this. Look at what's written in Philippians. Let your gentleness be known to all men. This is Paul, the apostle. We need to learn valuable lessons of this man. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses what? All understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through what? Through Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Look what also that was written. Now, all these letters I'm showing you, all these scriptures were written by Paul. He wrote this to the Ephesians church, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That's you and I. Look what he wrote in 1 Timothy 1 through 5. Look at this. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who what? Who desires all men. Say that with me at home. Who desires all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge, what? Of the truth. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Huh, saints of God, aren't you so blessed? Is that it was God's desire that all men be saved. Unfortunately, not all will. There are those that will reject Christ all the way to the end. And there are some that are duped. They think they know God, and yet they live in lifestyles that are abhorrent to God, and they think they are a child of God. Well, think again. Think again. The Bible says not to judge no one, but the Bible does say you will know them by their fruit. Oh, that's right. Is the fruit of God emulating from their life? You got to ask yourself that. Praise God. Let's move on. Let's go to verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the Colossians' trust in Christ Jesus and love for others had reason. They were looking forward to the joys of heaven. Why have faith in Jesus Christ if there is no hope for a glorious future? Huh? You ever ask yourself that? Huh? Have you ever asked yourself that, my friends? My goodness. Why? Because God wants the best for you and I. That's right. He wants the best for us. That's right. So you ever ask that question? Why? Why love others if it doesn't matter in the end? Wow. Wow. But looking forward to heaven makes all the difference. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. These believers have been looking forward to heaven since they first heard the truth of the good news. Paul brought them the truth of the gospel as opposed to the heresy of the false teachers. Praise God. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote in Philippians here. Look at this. Philippians 12 through 14. Look at that. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected. None of us are. But I press on. Say that with me at home. But I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press, say that with me at home, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Praise God. God, praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints? Paul gave us the key. It's to hold on. Don't let go. Whatever God's called you to do, you be faithful and true. Don't throw in the towel. There's some people that walked away from God and went back out in the world, and they're living for the devil again. Did you know that people that do that, the Bible's clear that 7 wicked more demons come upon them. And it causes them to be captured in their sin, and they wallow in it. And it's much harder to come back to God. Why? Because there are demons at work. My goodness. Help us, Jesus. Help those who have backslidden. Oh, God, have mercy. The church needs to fast and pray, because there are many who have been duped, who went back out into the world and no longer are serving God all the way to the end. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Now, let's go back now to verse 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the world. Look at this. Before in the word of truth of the gospel. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you see that? You see, my friends, Paul wrote this in Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians. In him, say that with me. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. My. Listen, let me just pause there. Some people don't understand that. That we are sealed until the day of redemption. And so we should always have the fear of God, the love of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. But you probably ask, well, what about those who fell away and they stayed fell away? You have to ask this question. Were they really of God? Remember, I believe it's in 1 John that some of the apostles saw several brethren and said, hey, weren't they with us? And one of them said, yeah, they were with us, but they were never of us. Did you catch that? And so there are people in churches around the world that have never been born again. They've never surrendered their life. And when a storm would come, when trials come, anything that would shake their faith or a temptation that's ungodly, they will slip away without the fear of God. Have mercy on them, Lord. Have mercy. Now let's look at this. In 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. For this is Paul now. Paul says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight of faith. Look at this. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not me only, but also to all who loved his appearance. Saints of God, I want you to catch this verse of scripture. This is key. This is what's missing in the church. There is no one looking for his appearing. And no one cares about the crown of righteousness that's been laid up. This is why this Bible study is entitled Our Treasure in Heaven. Because there's treasures in heaven that God has laid up for us. I want to read this verse of scripture so it drives home, so that you would adhere to it. You would accept it. You allow it to grow as truth. There is no error in God's word. Let's go back to it. Let's look at this. Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8. For I am ready, being what? Poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. He knew that they were going to come for him. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all. This is key. Who have loved his appearing. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? Huh? Isn't that something, saints of God? We have a lively hope in Christ Jesus. That's right. Look what it says in Titus right here. Look at this. First of all, I want us to read this. We have a lively hope in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house? Look at Titus 1 through 4. It says, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. We are His elect. And according, and the knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness, and hope of eternal life with God, who cannot lie. Say that with me at home. God cannot lie. Promised before time began, but has in due time, look at this, manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according what? According to the commandment of God our Savior. Look at this in verse, my goodness, I'm here to let you know, saints of God, that God, before He spoke everything into existence, which God cannot lie, has promised us eternal life. How many believe that at home? How many believe that at home? You have to believe it, my friends. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 6. Which has come to you, as it is also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. I need to ask you this question. Do you believe, since you've been saved, that you are producing fruit? What is the fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And when you have the fruit of the Spirit operating, guess what? You will lead others to Christ. You will sow seeds of righteousness into their heart. You will edify them and build them up. You will also tell them truth. You will also tell them that there is a heaven to obtain and a hell to shun. That's right. And those who reject the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the cross of Christ, those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ will perish and find themselves thrown into the lake of fire on the day of the white throne judgment. My goodness, help us, God. We need all your help, O God. Help us stay true to you, God. Help us press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. How many believe that God's word is true, saints of God? That's right. It is true. You see, Paul spoke of the good news. Hallelujah. He spoke. Let's look at this for a moment once again, saints of God. Let's look at this. God is good. How many believe God is good? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is good and He's worthy to be praised. Paul spoke of the good news as an entity unto itself. Something alive, growing, spreading, bearing fruit, and spreading some more. Paul was not exaggerating when he wrote the words all over the world. He did, saints of God, not mean that every location on earth had been evangelized, but that the gospel was making headway across racial, national, and geographical barriers throughout the Roman Empire. That's right. God was using Paul. And indeed, nothing can stop it from changing lives everywhere. Can I get amen? Not only was the gospel growing and bearing fruit across the known world, it was doing the same right in the city of Colossae. The book that we're reading from. And let me just say this. Some of you live in San Diego. Some of you live in Bonita. Some of you live in Chula Vista. Some of you live in San Diego. Wherever you live right now, are you making a difference for God? Hallelujah. Are you making a significant difference that God can say, I am using you mightily? Hallelujah. Well, let me just say this. It starts at home. And when the home, hallelujah, is operating according to the will of God, then everything else, hallelujah, will come into play. But it starts at home. It starts with me. It starts with you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And so, saints of God, when Epaphras first brought them the good news of the gospel, the Colossians heard and understood the truth about God's great kindness to sinners. Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's look a little further into the book of Colossians right here. Look at this. Epaphras. Remember I said earlier, there's a name. If God mentions it in Scripture, this person in heaven is dear to God. Epaphras, who is one of you. Look at this. A bondservant of Christ. Can you put your name there? Can you put your name and exchange it for Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently in your prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God? Look at this, verse 13. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Wow. Wow, my friends. Allow God to mention you throughout heaven as a humble bondservant. And God will continue to bless your life here on earth until he calls us home. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at verse 7. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is faithful and minister of Christ on what? On your behalf. You see, my friends, God will put wonderful people in your life. That's right. Several of you have had many pastors throughout your Christian walk. By the grace of God, I may happen to be the last one you have encountered thus far. We don't know if you will go on and have another pastor down the road. I don't know that. God just saying, minister to those that are there. But God has raised up people in your life to help you grow, to help you be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to prepare you to meet the King. And if there's an agenda that I have as pastor of Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, is to prepare you to meet the King, that you would get your life in order, your household in order, your children in order, that you would get your life in order, that when Jesus comes, he will take us all home with him. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, Epaphras had founded the church at Colossae while Paul was living in Ephesus. That's right. Epaphras may have been converted in Ephesus. We don't know. And then he had returned. Praise God. But God in his grace, God in his mercy, God in his sovereignty, God in his love, hallelujah, for the saints of God. He loves you and I. And Paul called Epaphras a much loved, hallelujah, co-worker, a faithful servant, and a fellow prisoner. That's right. He was in prison with them. The letter to the Colossians and the personal letter to Philemon were written at about the same time and sent to the same destination, the Colossian church. In Philemon's house, it is unclear from the verse whether Epaphras was actually in prison with Paul or if Paul's words were metaphors of warfare or captivity in Christ. It is more likely that Epaphras was with Paul voluntarily, praise God, and would return to Colossae. The Colossian believers could trust Epaphras and they could trust his message. Paul was saying that Epaphras was speaking on behalf of the apostle himself. Epaphras' authority gave them good reason to not accept teachings that had come to them later and which were contradictory to Epaphras' teaching. Praise God. And so, my friends, we were going to close out in our last verse tonight. Who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Notice capital S, Holy Spirit. Praise God. And so, my friends, undoubtedly, Epaphras had told Paul all about the church in Colossae and some concern for Epaphras about the false teaching that had come into Colossae. It prompted Paul's response through this letter. Praise God. But Epaphras had also told Paul about the character of the church. They had great love for one another. They showed love outside the fellowship, and they loved the well-known Paul as a brother in Christ, even though through they had never met him. Such love comes from our relationship with Christ. We have not seen Jesus face to face, but yet we love him. Why? Because of the indwelling Holy Spirit living inside us. Praise God. Thank you, God. Because the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, and gentleness. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, Christian loves the love that emulates from our life is found in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, praise God. And it speaks as action and attitude, not just an emotion. Love is a byproduct of our new life in Christ. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. And in closing, we all know that Jesus is coming. How many believe that Jesus is coming again? Oh, yes, He is. Look at this. Look at the clouds behind me. Look at that. He's going to come in the clouds. Soon and very soon, we're going to meet the King. You know that song, soon and very soon, we are going to meet the King. Oh, yes. My goodness, let me just say this. We see the signs. We know that it's close. It's very close. And I hope you're preparing your heart to meet the King. Never mind of what's going on in this world. That's right. God's going to allow what's going to happen. We know the signs are here. But God is saying, are you ready to meet me? Are you ready to meet the Lord in the air? Because soon and very soon, the Lord is coming. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church to confirm this very truth. Let's go there right now. Let's look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrows others have no hope. Look at this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you comforted knowing that you and I are in that number? That you and I are the called out ones? That you and I have been saved by grace through faith? And that the blood of Jesus took away our sins, and now we are filled with the Spirit of promise. We've been baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and now you and I are heaven bound and a hell to shun. And what do I always say, a hell to shun? Because Jesus talked about hell more than He did heaven. And why did He talk about hell more than heaven? Because He came to save us from that horrible place. And you and I have to be thankful that we are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, washed in the blood, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But something miraculous has to take place. We can't just go up in these fleshly bodies. Why? Because the law of gravity keeps us here on earth. We need to have a body that defies the law of gravity, where we can float away, fly away, appear, disappear. I want that body like Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what He did. Remember, He appeared in the room with the disciples, and then He disappeared. And then He was seen floating up into heaven. My goodness. My goodness. This is what needs to take place. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, now this, brethren, look at this. That he says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all die physically, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Wow. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed, my friends? that Jesus is coming to change us. But let me just say this. You and I, we have to be right or get left. Yeah, this is not a political slogan. Meaning we have to be right with God or get left behind. And the last thing that you want to see, that I would ever want to see, is just this. Let's look at this for a moment.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow, my friends, that's a no-joke situation. I wouldn't be showing this video time and time again if we didn't believe what the scripture said is going to take place. God is saying get right with him. This is the time to give your whole entire life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have logged on and maybe don't have a relationship with the Lord. I'm here to let you know that you can have one, and all you have to do is cry out to God and repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you. I don't care what you've done in life. I don't care what gross sin you have caused or did in your life. God will forgive you for everything. The only sin that he will not forgive is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And when I found out what that meant, it made my blood curl. You know what that means? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? People that die without receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. My goodness. But here's the fix. Here is the remedy. Here is the key for those who are logging in right now and have never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at this in Scripture. Let's look at this. Peter, in the book of Acts, preached his very first sermon written by Luke in the book of Acts. Look at this. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins.'" That means forgiveness of sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Huh? Aren't you so blessed? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And so, my friends, you may be watching right now and have never repented of your sins. I want to lead you into what's called a sinner's prayer. But the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saves you. And if you're listening, you're watching, and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Come on, saints of God. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just got saved. Someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If that is you, down below is our website. Log on. Reach out to us. Our phone number, our email's there. What we want to do is make contact with you, give you a Bible if you don't have one, and point you in the direction that God wants for your life by His goodness and grace. And also, I just want to give a big shout out to all those who continue to support our ministry. Once again, down below, you can donate through our website, and donations are deeply appreciated. And so, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship family, we just want to say we love you. We thank you. We thank you for tuning in this evening. I hope that you were built up and edified, and continue to press toward the prize and call in Christ Jesus. And so I want to send out our benediction as we close. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I can't wait to see you this Sunday at 10:30, live in-person service. And we just want to say good evening. God bless you. And we love you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.